Okay, hi, yeah, I'm ready. Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. I've been kind of relaxing today to a point. I mean, I'm also catching up on work, but I'm doing things that are relaxing. I don't know how else to say that. Like, one of the things that I did, which some of you may know about, was I went through all of the Israel pictures that I've collected, and I created an Israel photo album on Facebook. The reason I say Israel pictures that I've collected is because my first day in Israel, my camera broke. So I didn't actually have a camera when we were in Israel last year. So what I did was I borrowed pictures from Lisa Hansen, Jasmine, and Danielle. Clara, you lost your pictures too, right? Isn't that true? And you had to borrow pictures too, if I remember correctly. So both Clara and I are operated on borrowed pictures. Fortunately, we were all on the same trip, so it's okay if we're borrowing pictures. And I have a link. I'll go ahead and paste it. And I think I'll paste it. Will I paste it? Oh, no, it's not pasting. I thought I had a link, but it's not showing up. Shoot. Let me see if I can get it again real quick. It's a link that will enable you to go and look at the pictures in Facebook if you want to. So let me get those back real quick, since we're a little early anyway, so this is nice. Hey, Jamie. also, for those of you who... Oh, hi again, Jamie. Also, for those of you who don't... Oh, hi again, Jamie. That's three highs. Are you coming back for a fourth? Hi, Jamie. Okay, go lay down, all right, because I'm busy. Go lay down. Go lay down, my love. I think she has other ideas. Oh, she keeps knocking my hand. No, honey, go lay down. I got to teach. Go lay down. She keeps knocking my hand off of the mouse because she wants me to pay attention to her. But for those of you who don't know, we do have a 2012 Israel pilgrimage that is being planned. And you can get information about that if you just go to ReginaDonAkers.com and then click on the events and gatherings link, and you can find information there about the trip to Israel, or you can just email me at ReginaDonAkers@yahoo.com and I'll send you information about the trip. Here, there's the link for the pictures that I posted from the 2010 trip. Hopefully that will work. And you can go in and look at the pictures if you want to. Or if you're listening to the recording, just go to my Facebook page. It is public, so you don't even have to be my friend to look at these pictures. Right now, we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time of the week that I have set aside in order to share from the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given to me to be helpful to me. And right now, we are up to February 2008, and we're going to be looking at a message from the end of February called Trust That Which Is Constant. So the next link I'm going to give you is a link to that particular message. I see Barbara saying she likes being my friend. Yeah, I like having friends too. All right, so the first link that I gave you was the link to the pictures of Israel. The second link that I gave you was the link to the first message that I'm going to look at tonight, which is called Trust That Which Is Constant. Or did I already do that? I think I already did that, didn't I? I kind of have a memory of already having done this, but you know what? We'll just read it over quickly anyway. It's a short, short message. And then we'll go to the next message. Let me just take a moment to say a prayer, okay? Holy Spirit, I am grateful for all of your gifts. I have made a decision that I want to know only thyself. And I just turn that decision over to you. And I ask you to guide me in all things. And I ask you to give me whatever is most helpful to me. And I choose not to have an opinion about what I need or what I should be given. Instead, I choose to trust you completely and I thank you for everything. And again, I thank you for everything. And one more time, I thank you for everything. Amen. All right, so I think I read this message, Trust That Which Is Constant, last time I taught on Sunday night, but it's been a couple weeks since I've taught on Sunday night, so I don't, I don't have a real clear memory, but I think I did. I've missed a couple of Sunday nights, one because I was in Chicago, and last week I was picking someone up at the airport for study with the scribe. But let's go ahead and just look at this message quickly. The question was, how can I learn to trust? And the answer that came was, trust can come from identifying with the strength or the power within. The difficulty in identifying with this power is that it has no form, and you are much too attached to form. Yet it is form that cannot be trusted. It is form that does not last and is not consistent. If you continue to look to form for trust, you will not find it, and you will only continue to learn lack of trust. And it's interesting because you just heard my prayer, and you heard me thanking Holy Spirit for everything and asking Holy Spirit to give me whatever I need or whatever is in my best interest, and promising not to have an opinion about what I need and what is in my best interest. If I was to have an opinion about that, chances are my opinion would be form. You know, I would think that I need form to look a certain way. And as soon as I slip into thinking that I need form to look a certain way, that's when I'm going to, let's just say that my trust then is going to be on the foundation built of sand, right? Isn't that the way it is in the Bible? Instead of the foundation built on stone. Things in form just shift and change. We all know that. I'm preaching to the choir. And yet, even though we all know that, I think we can also make the mistake of looking at form and thinking form should be a different way, thinking that some things are given and then they are taken away, thinking that we are somehow suffering, somehow lacking because we don't have everything we need. And that's just an error. That's all that is. That's just an error. I mean, you know, words, as words would say it, that's the belief that we are the body. But that is what that is. And also it reinforces that belief, and we're never going to be free that way. It really is most helpful just to, do what this particular message is talking about, to trust that which is constant, and that which is constant has nothing to do with form, absolutely nothing to do with form. And yet that which is constant is always here, because it's constant, right? And as we start to move our attention more and more to that, well, then everything is, okay. And we can trust. We not trust anything specific, but just trust itself. So, continuing with this message, Holy Spirit says, shift your focus from the outside, from the little s self, to the inside, the strength. Know and feel this strength within. Do not look to form. Know and feel this strength within that overlooks form. I think I mentioned, I do know that I taught this before, and I think I mentioned that this message was probably primarily geared towards Laurent. And one way that we can tell that is by the words that are being used. They're kind of words that would appeal to the male. You know, like it's referring to that which is within as strength. And I personally have no need to see that which is within as strength. That was probably a helpful bridge for Laurent, to see it as strong, as strength, this formlessness. Holy Spirit calls it that which is constant. And for me, that is a much better description than strength. It's funny because I was watching the Muji Satsang from Portugal this morning. And one person, one young man, sat in front of Muji and said that he was looking for something. And he said he didn't have a name for it. And Muji said, "That's good." And I agree with Muji, that's good. Although the term strength here is a bridge term that may have been very helpful to Laurent. And in fact, it's funny because Muji and this man ended up talking about a male energy in that particular discussion, about the male energy of getting angry and hitting someone. although the word strength, I think, is a useful word, you know, for a time. The truth is, it seems to me now that it is much better to have no expectations and no ideas at all about that which we are talking about. If we have no expectations or no ideas about that at all, then we can let it fully be itself, instead of trying to make it into something that fits our human idea of what it should be. Of course, whenever we talk about it, we have to use words. And I think that which is constant is a magnificent description. You know, it's it's descriptive without being descriptive, that which is constant. Even love, you know, strength is a word that I said the males may like. The word love, the females might like, and maybe the males as well. The word love, you know, we are love. It sounds so nice. But the truth is, that's not even a very good word, because we have so many ideas about what love is. And probably what's most helpful to us is just to release all ideas, all expectations that we've ever known, and just let it be it. That which is constant. That which is. Those are great descriptions. Holy Spirit continues in this message, when you are able to watch form move in and out of experience without looking to it as an attachment for trust, you will be able to feel the constancy of strength, which is trust. Then you will be able to trust no matter what seems to be happening in form. And that includes that which seems to be happening around you, but most importantly, it also includes that which seems to be happening in the aspect of form that you call mind. So many people are afraid of what happens in their own mind, what their mind is saying. They're very afraid of their own mind. And what Spirit is saying is, if you will learn to trust that which is constant, you need not even fear your own mind. The mind can be saying crazy things. The mind can be saying hateful things. And if you are in touch with you, then you are not affected by that. You are not bothered by that. If you get the idea that you need a still mind, a peaceful mind, a happy mind, a nice mind, that's really the same as thinking that you need to have money in form, or that you need to be in a relationship in form. Because just as mind, just as form shifts and changes, mind shifts and changes. And you are not that, you're not the mind. The mind can be crazy. And if you are focused on that which is constant, well, then you are unaffected by what appears to be your own crazy mind. You know, I'm reading The Human Gospel of Ramana Maharshi, and there's a story in there about one of his disciples. I don't remember at all which one. But when he is old and dying, right, he's aged, although he had a very good mind, as we judge minds, he had a very good mind when he was a younger person. When he was old, his mind became crazy. And I think we're all familiar that this can seem to happen with the aging process, right? So his mind became crazy. And when Ramana Maharshi's grand nephew went to visit this aged disciple, he was alarmed by some of the things that were coming out of his mouth because he was speaking what was on his crazy mind, this man was. And so the grand nephew said something to him about his mind because it was upsetting to him that this man was saying such things. But the man himself who was speaking the crazy words, showed that he was unaffected by that. He said that it was just the mind doing what the mind does, and sometimes what the mind did came out, you know, so it was heard, it was seen in form. But he seemed to be secure in the realization that he was not that. So Spirit is saying in this particular message, not only don't get attached to, you know, what we call form, by saying you can trust some situations and not trust others, but don't even get caught up in mind. Don't even get caught up in thinking you need a certain kind of mind. Your mind needs to be a certain kind of way before you can trust. Step back even further than that. Step back into yourself. Step back into that which is constant. Realize you are not the mind. Find that which does not change, whether the mind is crazy in the moment or peaceful in the moment or happy in the moment or unhappy in the moment. What is it that does not change? And realize that that is what you are. And you found that which you can trust. Holy Spirit ends this message by saying, the strength is constant. Place your trust there with the formless. Then your trust will not waver with form. And of course, that also includes mind. So if you're in this message with me and you'd like to go to the next message, you can just scroll to the top and you'll see where it says, persons is just experience and there will never be anything to fear. You can click on that to go to the next message. And for those of you who aren't in a message with us, I'm going to copy this new link and paste this new link into the room. There you go. There's the new link for the new message. And I was looking at the board. I see Lynn says, that's what's happening to me. I'm crazy. Good. Now, can you be crazy and be okay with that because you realize it's not you? That's the moral of the story. Let the mind be crazy while you stay constant. All right, so persons is just experience and there will never be anything to fear. It looks like there's probably two messages here, I'm guessing. I don't know if there is or not. I'm going to quit guessing because I really don't know anything about what I'm about to read. This is March 5th, 2008. Heck, I don't remember what it is. It looks like two titles to me, but we'll see. It starts with a question, and I have written here, Holy Spirit, Laurent has questions which I bring to you. And then I have three questions numbered in the message. The first question, what would you share regarding independence from the world, moving toward soul dependence on God? Question number two, what would you share to help with confusion between discernment and judgment? That's a pretty good question that lots of people seek an answer on. And then number three, what would you share to help one discern between the voice for God and the voice of confusion? Again, another question that people are always looking for answers on. And then I wrote, I surrender completely to you for all answers to the questions. And Holy Spirit says, I'm kind of starting to remember this now. Holy Spirit says, before talking to Laurent, I will talk to you, the scribe of the messages given to him. In order to deliver my message clearly, you must have no personal ideas of your own. By this, I mean that you must put aside all ideas that you are one person and he is another. It is most helpful to scribing if you see yourself as not a person at all, but merely as a vessel through which messages come. And it is most helpful if you see these messages as coming from mind, given to mind, so there is no difference between the mind receiving or asking and the mind that is giving the answer. Your only job is to take the formless and allow it to be born into form, because that was the request of mind. But do not see yourself as taking from one place and giving to another, because that is not the case. Ideas have not been moved outside of where they exist. Nothing has changed by you writing them down. It is only birth into form. I think that if I remember correctly, there was a judgment in my mind when Laurent asked these questions. And the judgment probably went something like, why doesn't he get it? You know, he should get, these are simple questions. They've been answered a million times. He's never going to get it. So there was he who never got it, me who did, and then Spirit who I was asking. So it's kind of like there were three here. And of course you can see that where there is three, there is separation. And so before answering the questions that were given to be asked, Spirit was correcting me on my ideas of separation. And again, Spirit was saying to me, there is really only mind. The mind that asks and the mind that answers is the same. And as an apparent scribe, all you're doing is taking a question that is in mind, an answer that is in mind, and allowing it to be birthed in form. So this was a helpful correction. It was, all corrections are helpful corrections. I welcome corrections from Spirit. I welcome corrections from Spirit because I want to awaken. I want to know only truth. And I do not desire to have error messages in my mind. And so I'm grateful that Spirit stepped forth and corrected my perception before answering. Now if we look at the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, Laurent also must stop seeing himself as a separate person. He does not realize it now, but seeing himself as separate is the greatest challenge facing him. He thinks his thoughts are the challenge, but his thoughts are only the effect of his believing. So maybe I had the idea in my mind that Laurent isn't getting it, he should get it. But I think Laurent had the same idea in his mind that he wasn't getting it and that he should get it. We were sharing the error, if you will. And really what Spirit is saying to us is if we would, let go of the idea of person, then we would see that questions exist and answers exist. I don't know if you can hear that or if you can feel that, but it's much different than the idea of Laurent doesn't get it and Regina does. You know? Questions exist in consciousness is the way that Muji would say it. But what Spirit is really just saying here is questions exist and answers exist. And let go of the idea of person as the one with the questions and the one with the answers. Holy Spirit says, my recommendation to each of you. Hi, Jamie. I know you want to go outside, but I'm busy right now. How about afterwards, okay? Can you go lay down? She's really... Oh, come here. You want? Too bad you don't talk. They can't hear you. She's crawling up on my lap and licking my ear now. You have to wait, my love. I can't go right now. Go lay down. Go lay down. Okay, so Holy Spirit continues. My recommendation to each of you is that you focus on dissolving. Dissolve the idea of person. Dissolve the idea of one and another. You should see Jamie. She's so cute right now. She keeps tapping me with her paw and looking at me and wagging her tail. She totally wants me to take her outside and, you know, put the leash on her and do some stuff that we're not going to do right now. She just keeps tapping me with her paw. Okay, my recommendation to each of you is that you focus on dissolving. Yeah, dissolve the idea of person. Dissolve the idea of one and another. Let go of thinking you're separate. This obstacle is greater for you than you realize. And so I asked, how do we dissolve the idea of persons? And Spirit said, you must see that person is merely experience. Hold the idea in your mind as you speak to another or think of another. Persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. So as often happens with Spirit through me, if you really have been paying attention to the personal messages that are given to me, often Spirit gives me a mantra, not occasionally, but often. And the mantras have really kind of changed over time, but they seem to be a thought that is most helpful for me now and really the step that Spirit is asking me to take now. And in this particular case, the mantra is, persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. So when Laurent asks a question, instead of me seeing it as he's the one that's asking the question, and I'm the one through whom the answer is going to come, like two different bodies there, I'm to say to myself, persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. I remember the first time that I had the experience of this realization that this mantra is pointing towards. It was in North Carolina. It may have been shortly after this. I really don't remember for sure, but that sounds like a good guess. I'll make up that story. It was shortly after this message, a couple months after. But I really don't remember that clearly. Anyway, I was at church, and the church that we went to in North Carolina has a lunch. They serve lunch, a very big, nice lunch, every day after church. And everybody would go from church to the lunch. And I was sitting at the table with a man who was also a course student, and we were talking. And he was applying the course. He was using the course to talk about world events. And I don't know, my perception of the way he was applying the course to world events and the way he was talking about the course with world events, my perception was that you know, that was really an error. You know, that again, he did not get it. Except that that perception only lasted a nanosecond. And that's what I want to talk about. Because what happened is very quickly that perception was replaced with the realization that this man was just speaking thoughts in our shared mind. And when I saw that, I could not find any way to disagree with him. There was no way for me to find him wrong or find him not getting it, because you know what? The thoughts he was speaking, I know, are in our one mind. So, and he was speaking those thoughts perfectly. So in that moment with him, the idea that there was a him and there was a me and we had different opinions about the course, it kind of just disappeared. And he was just speaking thoughts that are in our one mind. And he was absolutely correct in the way he was speaking those thoughts. Persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. There's nothing that any of us can say, nada, nothing. There's nothing that we can say that isn't in the one mind. Every sentence, every word that any one of us speaks is in the one mind. And so that means that everyone is perfectly correct in the expression of the idea they're expressing. And when you see this, there's just nothing to disagree with anymore, nor is there any person. I mean, it's just like an outlet expressing an idea. Persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. This idea, held too firmly, can dissolve the idea of persons immediately. Held too consistently, the idea of persons can fade away. So what Spirit is saying here is that really, if we take this idea and we truly in our mind make a decision to accept this idea completely, as completely true, we can have an instant awakening. If we don't make that firm of a decision, but yet we continue to make this decision over and over again, with time, there can be an experience of awakening. This idea that persons is just experience, all that is happening now is happening in one mind. This idea, held too firmly, can dissolve the idea of persons immediately. Held too consistently, the idea of persons can fade away. Continuing with the message, when you realize there is only mind, all of the other questions you have asked are answered automatically. Those questions can only have meaning if there is an other. If there is no other, no world, no actual form, but only ideas in one mind, can you be dependent on anything but God? The idea of dependence then becomes only an idea, since there is no other to be dependent on. So, the very first question was, what would you share regarding independence from the world, moving toward soul dependence on God? Some people may feel that they are too dependent on their parents, too dependent maybe on their children, too dependent on their significant other, or even too dependent on their job. And by that I mean they feel like they don't trust God. They are trusting this other as a source. My parents are the source of my sense of security. Or my children are the source of my sense of security. I'm older and they're the ones that pay my rent and give me money. Or my significant other is the provider. I'm dependent on that person. Or it could just be that I have a job, but I really believe that that is my sense of security, so I feel too dependent on that. And if I feel dependent on an other for my sense of security, then I may also feel guilty. Because I may feel like I am not trusting enough. I do not trust God. But what this is saying is that if you can see that it's all one, that there is no other, then you realize your parents, your children, your significant other, and your job are God. God is all that you could ever be dependent on, is what this says. It's only the idea that it's not God. And sorry, my love, you have to wait. You have to wait, sweetie. I love you. It's only the idea that it's not God that is causing the sense of guilt, the sense of a need for change, right? If there is no other, no world, no actual form, but only ideas in one mind, can you be dependent on anything but God? The answer is no. The idea of dependence then becomes only an idea, since there is no other to be dependent on. Now the second question that Laurent asked was, let's go back up here, what would you share to help with confusion between discernment and judgment? Spirit says, if there is no other, can there be judgment? There is no other to judge. There is only discernment, and discernment merely recognizes the untrue as false. Discernment does not lead to judgment because it sees nothing tangible to judge. In order to judge something, it has to be separate from you. Oh, Jamie just took off in an excited way. I wonder if Danielle's decided to take her out. She was pretty persistent, so maybe Danielle just decided to take her for a walk. If you see that all there is self, or all there is God, or all there is one, or all there is ideas in one mind, well then, again, like Spirit says here, then there is no more anything to judge. In order to judge, you have to see it separate. There's no more anything to judge. All there is at this point is discernment, and he refers to discernment as recognizing the idea as true or false. And you know, you can discern things as true or false without even rejecting them. Let me see if I can come up with an example. Okay, I have an example. If my daughter, she's 14, and so sometimes, you know, she gets angry at me. I mean, I think that's her job at age 14. If I see her as other than me, separate from me, then I may judge her, you know, as disrespectful, as not getting it, not understanding, or something. But if I see that there is only one, and that ideas in our one mind are being expressed, well, then I can't argue with the ideas being expressed. She's acting like a 14-year-old girl. These are the way 14-year-old girls act, right? She's doing it perfectly. She's an absolutely perfect 14-year-old girl. So there's nothing to judge because she's a perfect vessel expressing the ideas that are in one mind. So all that there's room for then is discernment. True or false. And I can see that the ideas that she's expressing are not true. You know, she's playing out a pretend script that, you know, it doesn't speak of our reality. It doesn't speak of what she really is, of what I really am, of what is true. You see how that works? No matter what she says to me, you know, I hate you, slam the door. You're so mean. You know, these are the kinds of things I sometimes hear. Perfect expressions of ideas in our one mind, are they not? Anyone who's ever known a 14-year-old girl knows these ideas are in our one mind. Anyone who's ever been a 14-year-old girl knows these ideas are in our one mind. She's expressing it perfectly. She's not the first, and she certainly will not be the last. And she's doing a great job while that's her job. But it's not true. It's just a pretend script that she's playing. And with that discernment, I am able to stay detached. I'm able to not get caught up in it and play the script that's also in our one mind about how the mother reacts to the teenage child. But I think they have a show starting on November 30th on TV. Jasmine and I were joking we should watch it together. It's a TV series, something about mothers raising teenage daughters. And, you know, they're going to express those ideas so perfectly, I'm sure. I'm sure the mothers aren't going to be enlightened mothers. So we're going to see how the teenage daughters express, and we're going to see how the mothers express when they're all believing it. But again, they're just going to be playing out a script that plays out over and over again. Discernment sees these are one ideas that are in the mind, you know. Nearly every 14-year-old girl and nearly every mother of a 14-year-old girl says these things and plays these parts. We're all going to recognize it in this TV show that they put on. We're all going to see it. There's no separation there. There's only not true. It's not true. Right. So without an other, there's nothing to judge. There is just discernment. Is it true or is it false? Laurent's third question, what would you share to help one discern between the voice of God and the voice for confusion? Holy Spirit says, if there is no other, can confusion share a story that will confuse? The voice of confusion only speaks of others. It sees you as a separate person, but if you are not a person, the voice of confusion can have nothing useful to say. Wow, there's a concept. So the only way I'm ever going to fall for the voice of confusion is if I believe in persons. If I believe I'm a person and you're a person. You know, if the voice of confusion says, hey, you know, so-and-so over there said something about you. You know, she's spreading rumors about you. I mean, that catches my ear if I think I'm a person and she's a person. But if I do not invest in that belief, if I just see ideas being expressed in one mind, well, there we go. There's another false script, right? It's nothing. It's perfect. I mean, gosh, we all know that's another script that runs in the one mind. The script of, you know, spreading rumors. The script of talking bad about one. I mean, the hell that's been in all of our minds. You know, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's only something if I believe I'm a person. So you know what Spirit is saying is that voice of confusion, we call it the ego, it won't even catch my ear. I don't have to worry about what's the difference between the voice of confusion and the voice for God. It won't even catch my ear if I let go of the idea that I'm a person. Because what it says will be so obviously just chatter, not related to me because I'm not that which it's speaking of. So it's funny, Laurent asked three questions that seem to be, you know, pretty typical questions on the spiritual path, right? How do I get to where I'm not dependent on things in the world anymore for my security, so I'm only dependent on God? You know, how do I know the difference between discernment and judgment? And how do I know the difference between the voice for God and the voice for confusion? It looks like three totally reasonable questions that we all ask. And instead of giving three answers and going into a long lecture on how to know the difference between discernment and judgment, or how to know the difference between the voice for God and the voice of the ego, instead of going into all of that teaching, which we know Spirit can and has before, but on this particular day, instead of going into all that teaching, Spirit says, you know what, there's one problem, and there's one answer. The problem is you think you're a person, you think there's an other. The problem is the belief in separation, right? And the answer is just letting that go. When you let that go, the idea that you are a person, the idea that there is another, then the three questions are answered through what you see, through what you know. Now, on this particular day, I said, Holy Spirit, I can follow what you are saying, but I cannot imagine letting go of the idea of person to the degree that you are asking us to. Spirit said, look at that. Look at the idea that you cannot let go of the idea of person, and realize that is a statement of your willingness more than a statement of your ability. There is no ability, or better said, there is no lack of ability in the mind. There is only willingness, which is will or desire. You know what Muji would say is, that's just a thought. And if I really am ready to let go of the idea of persons, I will look right at it and I'll agree, yep, that's just a thought. The thought that I can't do this is just a thought. Holy Spirit says, do you desire to see that you are not a separate person? Is this what you truly want? Let this question ring in your heart today. Realize this question and this message came into form because mind wanted it birthed. If mind did not want it birthed, it could not come into being. Therefore, this is the message that you sought. These are the words you wanted to see. This is the message you wanted to hear within your consciousness. You know, maybe there was a thought that we asked Spirit some questions, and we wanted those questions answered in a certain way, and Spirit didn't do that. Instead, Spirit asked for more than we could give. But Spirit's saying that's not true. That the only way this answer could have come is because this is the answer we wanted. We don't want any more nice intellectual answers. We want answers that point directly to truth. And the idea that we can't do this, the idea that I can't let go of person, is just a resistance thought. And in NTI, Holy Spirit said that the answer to great resistance is great willingness. And so what Spirit is focusing us on here is that we don't really want to hold on to that thought, I can't do this. Spirit's asking us to focus on our heart and notice within our heart that we want to do this, and focus instead on that I want to let go of the idea that I am a person. I want to see myself as I really am. I want to know only truth. Feel that in my heart and know that is true. And when I feel that in my heart and know that is true, the idea that I can't just disappears. Holy Spirit says, let go of separateness. Let go of the idea of other. Let go of seeing yourself as a person. Expression of idea is all that you experience, and idea occurs within one mind. Look at that sentence. Expression of idea is all that you experience. So when someone appears to be sharing an opposite point of view from yours, if you're willing to look at it with the clarity of this message, you have to admit it's a perfect expression of an idea that is in our one mind. Their expression is equally perfect to yours. They're as right in expressing an idea as you are in expressing an idea. There is no difference between their expression and yours. The appearance of disagreement, the appearance of two people on opposite sides of an issue, is the illusion. The clarity is two vessels doing an equally good job in expressing ideas that are definitely in our one mind. Expression of idea is all that you experience, and ideas occur within one mind. Step back and watch the expression unfold. Be willing to be moved by it in experience. Be a part of it while realizing nothing is separate from it. Again, be willing to be moved by it in experience. Be a part of it while realizing nothing is separate from it. It is all one movement of idea. Okay, I'm not going to go into this next message that is on this page. There was another message. There will never be anything to fear. There's only 9 minutes left, and we wouldn't do it justice. But this last paragraph reminds me of something I read this morning, so why don't I just get that and read that to you. Hold on one second. The new book that I started reading yesterday is called Perfect Brilliant Stillness. And it is by a man named David Carse, Carse. And the very first chapter of this book is called Outpouring. And it's really just an outpouring from his heart into words, into form, right? Just like, you know, like we just saw scribing is. Scribing is just taking thoughts that are in one mind and putting them into form. Well, that's what this outpouring is. This is David Carse's outpouring, the expression of thought. And notice this message just ended with, be willing to be moved by it, right? The expression of idea in one mind. Be willing to be moved by it in experience. Be a part of it while realizing nothing is separate from it. It is all one movement of idea. Let me just read to you David Carse's outpouring. He says, and so, there is only one. All else is illusion, construction in mind, There is nothing happening here. There is only one being awareness. Stillness, silence, perfection. And in the stillness, a breathing perhaps. As if there is only one breathing. And all this is that breathing. All this is that. We are that. We are that one. Yet not. Not even we are one, because there is no we. Only one. Nothing happening here. Despite what it seems, nothing matters. Still, the one breathing is an outpouring of pure, blazing compassion, love. And I find that I am not who I thought I was. What I have called myself is nothing. Is an idea, is an accretion of memories. I'll say a collection of memories, attributes, patterns, thoughts, inheritances, habits, ideas, which I can look at and say, not I. I am not this. As myself, I simply am not. No self, no me has ever existed. Illusion, fabrication. There is nothing happening. Nobody here. There is only one breathing. That is what I is. I am that, and that is all. And that is the brilliance which all this is. Life, death, love, anguish, compassion, understanding, healing, light. The brilliance within, where the heart opens and there is nothing. No self, no one, only aching beauty and overwhelming gratitude. Outpouring. So that's the first chapter in this book, just this poem that he wrote. And you can see how perfectly it fits with the message that we just read. You know, this message is telling us that if we will let go of the idea that there are separate persons, that we will see it is all just expression of thoughts in one mind. He calls that breathing, right? This one breathing, that's the word he puts to it. But there's no me, no you, just this one breathing. And every one of us are perfectly expressing the ideas that we're expressing, the ideas that are being breathed. Now, whether they're true or false, that's where discernment comes in, right? Some of the ideas that are being breathed, in fact, most of the ideas that are being breathed, are fantasy, a game. But every expression is an absolutely perfect expression of that idea which is being breathed. So no one is ever wrong, and there is no one. Or there is only one. Chapter 2 of David Carse's book is called A Thread, and I have underlined here, what you think you are, a separate individual entity, is part of this illusion. You are not the doer of any action or the thinker of any thought. Events happen, but there is no doer. Remember, that's how Spirit corrected me as the scribe when I had the idea, Laurent doesn't get it. He has questions that, you know, are stupid questions. He should understand that stuff by now. I'm the one who gets it, but I will, you know, sacrifice myself here and ask the questions of Spirit anyway. Remember, that was kind of my attitude? And Spirit's correction was that there is no separate Spirit Regina Laurent. Just questions exist and answers exist, right? Remember? That's how it started, was that correction for me. Questions exist and answers exist, all in one line. Listen again to what I underlined here. What you think you are, a separate individual entity, is part of this illusion. You are not the doer of any action or the thinker of any thought. Events happen, but there is no doer. So just a couple other things I underlined here. I'll go ahead and read them since we have 2 minutes. What we would call truth, he is calling here perennial wisdom. He says the perennial wisdom cannot be directly expressed. Teachers who have come to understand it can point to it, talk around it, suggest ways and means for others to approach it, but cannot directly and clearly state it. So again, this is something we just have to discover for ourselves. But Spirit is giving us advice, you know, in this particular message, a mantra that can be used. Persons is just experience. All that is happening now is happening in one mind. This kind of a mantra points us towards that which is true so that we can have the realization of it ourselves. All right, I'm out of time, so I will stop. It was fun reading a little bit from this new book that I'm reading. I can tell I'm going to love this book, so maybe I'll be sharing more with you from it. Again, it's Perfect Brilliant Stillness, Beyond the Individual Self by David Carse, C-A-R-S-E. Okay, and I'm out of time, so I am going to let go of the mic, and I'll see y'all later. Bye.